In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you on this Wednesday. You know what that means? It's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday, which is the 29th Sunday of Ordinary Time in Year C. So we're getting really close to the end of the church year. And so it's going to be a wonderful parable by our Lord about being persistent. And that's what we want to talk about today. As we break open God's Word for the Gospel for this Sunday, how have you been persistent in your prayer life, persistent and consistent? Not just beseeching God for prayers, but in the way you live your life every day to be that witness of God's love to the world. How have you been persistent in your prayer life and in your walk with the Lord? We'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call. All you got to do is pick up the phone, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Today is also the feast day of St. Teresa of Avila, one of the great doctors of the church. She's one of four women doctors of the church. So St. Teresa of Avila, St. Therese of Lisieux, St. Hildegard of Bingen, and St. Catherine of Siena are the four of the 30, I think with John Henry Cardinal Newman, there's now 38 doctors of the church. And four of those are women. And St. Teresa of Avila, man, she's fierce. I mean, her writing is amazing and difficult, actually. You know, I remember in graduate school, we took two spiritual theology classes, and her writings were required in both classes. It's difficult stuff, but very, very rewarding. She was, in fact, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook right now, you can see behind me, the background I have today is actually the tomb of St. Teresa of Avila, in Spain. I took that this year, went on pilgrimage this year, with Father John Paul from EWTN, one of the MFVA friars. And we were in Portugal, Spain, and France together. Almost for a month, actually. We spent a lot of time together. And this was a picture I took of the tomb of St. Teresa of Avila. She obviously was a Spanish mystic. So her writing is a lot of mystical theology, mystical spirituality. And she was also a reformer of the Carmelite order, along with St. John of the Cross, who was a contemporary and a colleague of hers, actually. Her works are important in the life of the church. The Interior Castle and The Way of Perfection are two of the greatest spiritual works in the history of the church. You know, they're super, super important. In fact, one of the things I would encourage you to do, maybe even if you do any Advent reading in preparation or particularly for Lent, is to particularly Interior Castle, is to pick that up and try to work your way through it. She emphasized mental prayer and a deep interior life, you know, which is often a struggle to try to live that way, obviously, in the secular world. I mean, she was a cloistered Carmelite nun. So obviously that's how they live their life every day. But I think she has some important lessons to teach us about how to live contemplatively in today's busy world. And you've heard me talk about this, and obviously to a lesser extent, but finding time for silence, finding time for prayer every single day. And I think Teresa's teaching will continue to inspire you with the beauty of how you can form a deep interior life with God, even in the midst of the busyness and hectic nature of our lives today. She talks about the soul's journey toward God, right? I mean, you've heard me talk about how we're pilgrims on this earth, and you know, we're pilgrimage toward our ultimate home, which is life with God forever in heaven. But St. Teresa of Avila talks about how the soul's journey, that interior journey of the soul to God, you know, and she uses the metaphor of a castle with many rooms, representing each room representing a deeper level of intimacy with God. So, I would encourage you to pick up one of her books and just take your time going through and just really praying and meditating, bringing it to adoration. I think you will gain great spiritual benefits from reading St. Teresa of Avila, whose feast day we celebrate today. And again, it's also Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you as we break open God's Word for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Wonderful parable about the widow and being persistent in what she wanted from the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about today, how we can be persistent in our walk and our journey with the Lord. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I got up super early today, got up at 5 a.m. and prayer, and then went for the walk early today while it was still dark outside. So I was walking while the sun came up. Beautiful, but it was cold today. Man, it was like 40 degrees. My hands were freezing. If I do that again, I'm going to have to wear gloves for sure. But it was beautiful, just the quiet. I just loved that. Just the dark, and then how the dark became light. You know, as I was continuing to do the laps around, and it was just, it was cold, but then obviously from walking, you know, began to warm up, and except for my hands, but it was just a beautiful way to start the day today. And, and especially with today being the feast of St. Teresa of Avila, just emphasizing again, finding time for quiet, for prayer, just to be that with the Lord, let your soul connect deeply with the Lord, you know, laying our heart next to Christ's a sacred heart, next to Mary's immaculate heart. It's just, I love that time of just being alone and just being with the Lord in prayer. Who I wish I was with more often on a daily basis, the people who bring this show every day. I'm talking about Matt Kabinsky, who's screening your calls today, and Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles doing social media. And of course, one person I wish I was with more often every day is the one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how goes it today?
It's good, man. I was going to ask you, I know as we've talked about how when you travel, like you kind of keep to yourself, right? And now they have on planes like full-size beds and like little cubicles that you're kind of isolated away from it. Like, is that ever a travel option that you've ever considered?
No, because those are horrifically expensive.
Oh, well, there's
like
that.
It's not even like to upgrade is like, I don't think so. I'm not paying an extra $7,000 or $8,000 just to get one of those things. No, thank you.
No Groupons, nothing like that.
Nah. Every once in a while, rare, I'll get upgraded to one of those. I mean, the last time was before the pandemic, so.
Yeah, when they were generous just to see you there, right?
Yeah, it doesn't happen often. You know, I was still thinking about yesterday's show, how many calls we got, you know, doing the Kansas tune, you know, it's great how, you know, I forgot more calls than I thought we were going to get, but it just shows you how impactful a song could be, especially a song that talks about a spiritual journey.
Sure.
You know, we're talking about St. Teresa of Avila, whose writings are talking about the soul's spiritual journey to God. And, you know, and then yesterday, I think it's a wonderful kind of, one-two punch, you know, if you will, on spirituality the last couple of days.
Well, and I would like to believe, too, because I know we had so many calls, we didn't get to go through all of the lyrics, but hopefully just in kind of lining up the chorus by itself, as you re-listen and then kind of, you know, translate the rest of the song, that it just hits differently, you know. And again, that's the purpose of the playlist, is for us to take these songs that are kind of shaping our minds and our attitudes about how we cope with things and making sure that they line up with our faith. But especially when it's something, to me, this is where I feel like evangelism is the easiest, is if you don't feel comfortable sharing your story, share with someone a song that has impacted you. And then your story will either come out on its own, or when they hear that song, they'll understand you better because they know that that song impacted you in a powerful way.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I think one thing a great conversation starter is to talk about music. It's a way of drawing people in. That's why we do it on this show. You know, but in just regular conversation, if, you know, you want to get to know someone better, you know, ask about their musical taste, what kind of music they like. And that's just a great, easy starting point for just entering into a conversation, entering into into that space with that person. And you can go from there and go to all kinds of different directions when you have music.
Yeah. Amen. I love it.
All right. Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. We break it open God's word for the 29th Sunday in ordinary time. Grab your Bibles. We'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Wow. Hey, all right.
A little laid back.
Yeah. That's like George Benson kind of feel.
Yeah.
He used to do that. Like, I loved how he did that. He mouthed the, like, he was
a little
singing
scatting
along with his phrasing, scatting with his phrasing on the guitar. Ooh.
A little shaker.
Yeah. I like that, man. Get up and move, don't you?
A little bit. Hey, Gloria Estefan said it best. The rhythm's going to get you.
There you go. All right. Setting the tone for today's special edition of Beacon of Truth, the Word of God Wednesday. Breaking open God's word for the 29th Sunday in ordinary time. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. We'd love to hear from you. Today's gospel in the parable, Jesus is talking about being persistent. Persistent in our prayer life, persistent on our journey, in order to really accomplish what God wants to do in our life. We have to be persistent, you know, and not get frustrated and not give up and not to quit, but to continue to move forward. This is a beautiful lesson that St. Teresa of Avila on her feast day that she teaches us in her writings, and something that we should do as well. So we'd love to hear from you about being persistent in your prayer life. Maybe you're struggling with some things in your prayer life. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call as we break open God's word on this Word of God Wednesday, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, I know we may not be necessarily ready for Christmas or Advent yet, but we can definitely prepare our hearts with the help of Mother Angelica. Today, you can definitely check it out in the religious catalog to find out ways to really counter materialism and, you know, season's greetings or happy holidays or any of that stuff. It really puts us in a great frame of mind, helps to prepare our hearts as well as we get closer to Christmas. So check it out. It's called Advent and Christmas with Mother Angelica, Cultivating a Faithful Heart for Christmas. So check that out again. EWTNRC.com.
All right, my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, and we connect that psalm to your everyday lived experience. Well, today we're continuing our look at Psalm 55. So Psalm 55 is in Book 2 of the Psalms. Psalms 51 through 72 are written by David. And so the prescript or superscript of this psalm is the entire first verse, Lemenzeach ben Ganith Maskil HaDavid. For the choir master on stringed instruments, a maskil of David. So David wrote this psalm, gave it to the choir master to put music to, and he particularly wanted this song on stringed instruments. So he had a certain way that he wanted this song, this psalm to sound, and he particularly gave the instruction here to have this on stringed instruments. And it's also a maskil. So maskil, again, means enlightened scholar, but we're not exactly sure how this word was used back at the time that these psalms were written. And so the way David started this psalm off was, "Give ear, O God, to my prayer. Do not hide from my pleading. Attend to me and reply. With my cares I cannot rest." So something is stirring up David in his spirit. Something is disturbing him in his spirit. And he's calling out to God in prayer, right? This, we're talking about St. Teresa of Avila and Jesus giving us the parable today of being persistent in prayer. And so we see David starting off this psalm, Psalm 55, pleading and beseeching the Lord to come in into his life and to intercede for him to deal with whatever issue is in his heart. Probably, again, persecution from Saul. But we're picking up here at verse 17. So Psalm 55, starting at verse 17. It says, "As for me, I will cry to God." So you mean, as for me. So in the previous verse, he talked about how he was betrayed, betrayed by a friend. He goes, "But it was you, my equal, my friend, whom I knew so well. We walked together in harmony in the house of God. But now you're the one that's turning against me. You're the one that was betraying me." And of course, how could we not think about Judas, right? Betraying our Lord, you know? And so it's in that context that David says this. He goes, you know, that so the person that they turned themselves against me. But he says, "As for me, I will cry to the Lord. I will cry to God, and the Lord will save me." Right? The Lord will save me. Look, we cannot rely on the things of this world to save us. You know, there are things in this world that may give us some solace, some comfort, but it's only fleeting. Right? It's only temporary. To get that true, deep, lasting peace, you know, we have to turn to God. And we have to turn to God particularly in prayer. You know, and in fact, so David not says the Lord will help me. He says the Lord will save me. Right? So we see how Jesus came to save us, right? From ourselves, from our sin, but often from ourselves. Evening, morning, and at noon, I will cry and lament, and he will hear my voice. See, so look how, without persistent in prayer, look how persistent David is being. Evening, morning, noon, 24/7. I'm going to cry and call out to the Lord. I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to never stop praying. I know that God will hear and answer my prayer. I just have to be persistent. So 24/7, evening, morning, noon, I will cry and lament, and he will hear my voice. Now, remember, God has not intervene into David's life yet to respond to his prayer, but David has the confidence in knowing that if he is persistent in his prayer life, that God will intercede. Now, and I'm going to make this point when we break open God's word more deeply in the next segment of the show, when we actually look at the parable that Jesus is teaching us. But the thing to know here is that God does answer prayer. I mean, I got a little pushback. I got an email, a fairly negative email from someone that didn't like one of my reflections that I gave for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Every other Thursday, I give these reflections on the readings. And he was the person that wrote the email was a little upset because he said that I was, that people don't have to struggle. All they got to do is just call on God. He's just going to answer their prayers. Well, you know, I guess he didn't listen to everything that I said, because God does answer prayers in the way that God sees fit for our well-being, right? God answers prayers in accordance with his will. He's not a genie that just says, "Okay, I'll grant you every wish." No, God does hear and answer our prayers. Sometimes the answer is not yet. Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes the answer is, you know, I'm going to do something here that's not what you expected, but it's going to be for your good and for your benefit. You know, and so it may not always, you know, we're praying for a particular thing and God may not grant that particular thing, but he always hears and answers prayer, not in the way that we always think or intend. But when we look back in with retrospect, we look back with perspective, we always see that God's ways are always better and greater than our ways. That, oh man, I asked for this, but God answered that prayer in a way that you know, was even better than I could even have imagined. You know, and that's what God wants to do for us. Verse 19, "He will redeem my soul in peace in the attack against me, for those who fight me are many." Right, so even in the midst of this onslaught where David feels overwhelmed, he's outnumbered by those who are trying to take him away from God. He knows that God will redeem his soul in peace. And this is something that Ace talks about all the time, that God will give us peace, that he is our peace. You know, again, he wants to give us a peace, as he says himself in John's gospel, a peace that is beyond all understanding. And what we have to do is understand that God wants to grant us a peace, but sometimes that peace comes after a period of struggle, after trial, you know, because sometimes that we have to, it's like gold that's tested in fire. Sometimes we have to go through that process of purification so that, just like in gold, you know, all the impurities rise to the top and then you scrape off and all that's left is the pure gold. Sometimes God puts us through the crucible so that those things could rise to the top, that his merciful love will scrape away. All that's left is that pure heart that's longing and yearning for a deep, intimate relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, and I oftentimes wonder if instead of praying for what we want or what we hope will happen, just asking for God to prepare our hearts for what his answer will be.
Yeah.
Because then that way, no matter what happens, we're thankful for what's coming. Our heart will shape, and so by the time it happens, we won't have this element of disappointment. It will be, okay, this is how God intended. And it may not have been what I originally had thought, but it is clearly going to be for his good and for the good and the betterment of everyone involved.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I've just about stopped praying for specific things.
Amen.
You know, I said, you know, if I'm wanting something, I said, Lord, whatever your will is, that's my prayer.
Yeah.
You know, and I mentioned this yesterday, I started praying a novena of memorares. You know, the memorare prayer, like for my wife to find a new office. And then on day 9, she got a wonderful new office, which is way better than anything that she could have imagined, you know. So, again, that's the way God works, you know. But I don't ask for specific things, even though there's something specific that I'm wanting or needing. I don't ask for. I said, look, Lord, you know me better than I know myself, because you made me.
Right.
You know what's on my heart. You know what my intentions are. Whatever your will is in this. And I just wait. Yeah. And I just have to wait on God. You know, and that's the hard part. Thinking that by waiting, again, God's not a genie that waves a magic wand. Waiting is half the struggle.
Yeah. Well, and in the same way, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, that he will give us the desires of our heart, but that is not a Santa Claus wish list. That is he is preparing you to be in a place so that the desires that he's giving you are all lining up because of what your purpose in this life is and how you are to reach other people. Because otherwise, we do just treat him like Santa Claus. And it's like, I want the good boy or girl this year. Please, can I have X, Y, Z? No, no, no. I only want to have the burning desires for the things that God wants me to have, and then to also have my heart broken for the things that also break his, so that I know where to serve him when the needs arise.
Yeah, so and that's a good point, because we don't want to God doesn't answer the prayers that will enter into our minds. He wants to shape and form and shape our hearts.
Yes.
See, and we may not even know in our hearts exactly what it is. You know, we form this thing in our mind and we say, yeah, okay, if I just have this, this will make everything better.
Right.
Well, God says, no, I got a better plan for you. Something that your heart is going to be more drawn in, more attracted to. And that's the way I'm going to answer this prayer. So he'll answer those things according to what really our hearts want, even if we may not recognize in the moment exactly it is that we're wanting or needing. God knows.
Amen.
And he'll maybe respond in that way to our hearts.
For sure.
All right. Word of God Wednesday today, we're breaking open God's word for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's talking about being persistent in our prayer life, persistent in our journey with God. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN.
On our best Schroeder.
Yeah, I was just about to say that's not- sounds like a Peanuts.
Snoopy
kind of
dancing on the piano.
Yeah. We're sinking here, man. That was exactly the same thing I was thinking.
Just shy of 2 years and we share a brain. Yeah. That's great.
But that's those songs. If you listen to those songs outside of the Peanuts stuff, they're great songs.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Yeah. Musically, they're just awesome.
Yeah. And I love it, too, because it's such a reactor at Christmas time when you hear those numbers. Like, it feels like Christmas. Like,
yes.
Those songs just have that, you know. But when you hear it, you're like, oh, you know, it takes you back when you watch the, you know, once a year, man, it was always on. It was it's a part of our childhood.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love that. And again, I love how, you know, music brings you back to a place. You know, it brings you back to a feeling, an event, a moment, a time in history.
Yep.
You know, a time in your life, whatever, you know, and I love how music does that. So even when you hear those songs outside of the Peanuts context, you can't help but think of Peanuts or Christmas,
right.
Or, you know, and just beautiful songs. And, you just don't hear songs like that anymore, especially with in those kinds of animated genres anymore.
Yeah. Well, and they just recently celebrated a milestone marker of that music, which I don't remember which year it was. Might have been 50th or whatever. But they did a collector's vinyl so that when you play it on your turntable, it's the Peanuts gang doing the dance from the Christmas episode. And so as it's moving around, you get mesmerized watching the Peanuts gang just dancing, you know, in and out of the circle. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's great stuff. Awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and it's Word of God Wednesday today. Grab your Bibles. We're breaking open God's Word for the Gospel for this Sunday, the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. So we're working our way quickly toward the end of the church year, which is, of course, the Feast of Christ the King. And then the following Sunday starts the first week of Advent. We switch from year C to year A. Today, we'll hear Jesus giving us a parable about being persistent in our pursuit of a relationship of love and communion with Him and in our prayer life. Would love to hear from you today about your journey of persistence. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, Ablaze Radio celebrating 10 years, and EWTN Radio, so proud of them. Double digits, man. That's a big deal. So Duluth, Georgia, as they continue to see that growth, thanks for your support. If you are in that area, of course, of all of our affiliates, but Ken and Patricia doing their job and doing well with WNRE. Congratulations on 10 years with Ablaze Radio and EWTN.
All right. Word of God Wednesday today, my friends. We're breaking open God's Word for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Would love to hear from you about being persistent in your prayer life. You know, there's so many different things that can distract us in this life, but Jesus today in this parable is talking about how we are to be persistent if we are to, in a sense, capture God's heart. Right, to capture God's heart, we have to be persistent. Would love to hear from you, even if you're struggling on your journey of faith. Love to share that with us today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. John Michael has been waiting patiently, calling from Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. John Michael, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon. I wanted to once again thank you for coming out here for our Catholic Men's Conference this past winter. It was an honor to meet you. And I got to say, you guys have the best segment or show. I absolutely love Beacon of Truth. It's the best. The music bits, your guys' rapport, and all the insights, it's just so encouraging. So thank you for your ministry together. I just wanted to share quickly my practice of mass journaling. It's something I first heard about from Matthew Kelly. So I have coming up on 10 years, I think, worth of just entries. Anytime I've been able to participate in the liturgy, in the Mass, I just write down the first thing that I hear God speaking to me. And those journals are what I treasure most. If my house was burning down, I would run in and grab those to be able to look back on how God's been speaking to me through the Mass, and whether it's a lyric from one of the hymns or the sermon, a homily, or one of the readings from the Bible. There's always something to take away and run with. And then the Divine Mercy Chaplet, that's been a go-to for my wife and I. So each day between 3 and 4, we always do our best to pray at least part of the DMC. And that's been really helpful for us to grow in humility and evangelistic zeal, imploring and really pleading with the Lord to not only pour out his wonderful divine mercy on our souls, on our hearts, but the whole world, on every person's soul. So that's been a benefit. And shout out to St. Teresa of Avila. She is one of, if not my very favorite saints. So thank you.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, you know, I love that mass journaling idea. You know, how often do you go back and look at those?
Definitely just a couple times a year, just to look back and reflect on any motifs, spiritual themes or motifs that have been occurring throughout my life.
Yeah, I love that. I love that idea of spiritual journaling like that, especially with the readings at Mass. And, you know, as we go through the cycle, it would be interesting to go back and look at, okay, we're in year C right now. So when we're back in year C again 2 years from now, like, you know, because we're going to go into A and then B and then C, to when you hear those readings again, to go back and see, what was I experiencing? What was I, you know, thinking about in the readings at, you know, 3 years ago when we heard this reading the first time? To go back and look at your journal and see, where am I now in my spiritual journey? How have I grown? What do I still need to work on? I think that's a wonderful way to mark time in a sense. Okay, here is something that's, here's where I was on my spiritual journey at this time. And here's how I've grown. Here's how I've matured. And I love the fact that you're doing things, prayer, with especially Chapel of Divine Mercy, with your wife. I love that. I emphasize this all the time about guys praying with their wives, how important that is. And you're doing it. And recognizing about being persistent also takes humility to be persistent, right? Humility, again, is not thinking less of yourself, is thinking of yourself less, right? I think that's an important underpinning, an important foundation for being persistent in prayer. Is humility. And the fact that you're doing a spiritual journey, praying with humility, praying with your wife, you're hitting it on all cylinders, John Mike. And I hope that people listening to you today will start doing that spiritual journey. Now, for me, it's interesting. I was thinking about, you know, I'm not much of a journaler, but I do homilies where I bring in sometimes my experiences and where I'm in life. So for me, it's going back and looking at the homily that I wrote for the readings 3 years ago for year C. And that's what I do. Like, this reading's coming along again. What did I do last time? And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Wow, okay, I'm going to do something different this time, right? So it's a wonderful spiritual marker. Great call, John Michael. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And as for calls like that is why we do this show, these Word of God Wednesdays, to make God's word come alive. And it's real. It's not just pages in a book. It's not just, okay, I just heard the reading, let's go to IHOP. No. Let's dive into God's word. Let's embrace God's word in our life. That's what we wanted to do today for the readings for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Jesus' parable of being persistent. So let's take a quick look at the parable. And of course, we'd love for you to call today about being persistent in your prayer. Maybe you're struggling with persistence. You know, St. Teresa of Avila, one of the great spiritual mystics of the church, one of the great doctors of the church, her feast day is today. She was all about being persistent in prayer and our spiritual journey as the soul makes its way toward God. Would love to hear about your spiritual journey. Maybe give us some advice like John Michael did, helping people deepen their faith. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Let's take a quick look at the gospel. So this is in Luke chapter 18. Jesus told his disciples a parable. So not just the apostles, the 12. These are all the disciples, the people that have been following him around from place to place. About the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. So Luke even tells us before the parable the point that Jesus is trying to make. Pray always without becoming weary, being persistent in prayer. So he says, there was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God. So in other words, he had no honor, reverence, or respect for God, nor respected any human being. Right? So basically, he was not living the two greatest commandments that Jesus spoke about: love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Who did he love? Himself. Right? He worshiped the Trinity of me, myself, and I. Right? So Jesus is describing this person. Then he says, a widow in that town used to come to him and say, render a decision for me against my adversary. For a long time, the judge was unwilling to do it. So the judge didn't want to do his job. Why? He's not focused on loving God, loving his neighbor, and doing the right thing in his position as a judge. He was just thinking about himself. Ah, I don't care about her. Her thing is, doesn't mean much to me. But he eventually thought, while it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, so even he even recognizes this about himself, that he doesn't love God or love his neighbor. That widow keeps bothering me, and I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. So, wait. So he finally renders the decision. He does the job that he was elected to do as a judge, not because of fear of God, but because she keeps pestering him. Unless she finally pester him enough to even do some kind of violence against him, that's what makes him finally render a just decision. The Lord says, pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights for the chosen ones who call out to him day and night? We saw this with David in Psalm 55. Morning, evening, and at noon, I will cry out and lament to the Lord. This dovetails perfectly into what Jesus is teaching us today about being persistent day and night. Don't give up. We have to be persistent. Again, why does God make us wait? He's not making you wait. God is, you never know. God is setting up things in the background, right? Things are happening that you are not aware of, so that when that prayer does get answered, again, not in the way that you think, it's not a genie, as Ace was talking about. That's not the way it works. But when God does come to address that prayer, there are things in place that'll help support or help, bring you to a place of peace with that decision. Because it may not be, again, the way that you wanted it to be, but God will bring you to a place, even through a crucible, even through a fire. You know, he'll bring you there to bring you out of it to be a better person that he created you to be. And that's what we're talking about today. Word of God Wednesday, breaking open God's word about being persistent in our life of prayer, being persistent in our journey with God. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Nina is calling from Northeast Pennsylvania, listening on Jesus, Mary, and Joseph Radio. Nina, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Great to hear from you.
Thank you for having me on. I wanted to talk about persisting in prayer, what you were saying, with a chronic illness. I just got out of an appointment with my another doctor. Is confirming that I've got stage 4 cancer. It's not going anywhere. I'm totally in God's hands and have to put up with, all the symptoms of chemo as long as God wills it.
Wow. Nina, first of all, please know that we're praying for you. That I'm going to be praying, Ace is going to be praying, the entire EWTN radio family, all the Beacon of Truth listeners will be praying for you as you go through this this difficult time. And it sounds like you're not, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but it doesn't sound like you're not really that old, actually, for this kind of cancer.
No, I'm definitely not.
So you're a young person, young adult dealing with this issue right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's tough. That is really, really hard. And, all of us have crosses that we have to bear. But when you have this stage 4 cancer, I mean, what do they have a prognosis for you?
Well, basically that I am on this chemo until it stops working. And then, I don't have many other options after that. It's not like they said it's not curable. It's basically treatable until it stops working.
Wow. Look, Nina, If I may ask, what is your prayer to God right now during this time?
We're talking about being
persistent in prayer, but what is your, knowing that it can't be cured, what is your prayer?
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to chat about, because I know that a lot of people out there are suffering with chronic illnesses, big time sufferings, you know, even chronic Lyme's is such a hard thing to deal with, you know, and mm-hmm. in some ways I know that I'm so lucky. In many ways he's really, you know, taken up a lot of my burden physically, but people are, you know, praying so long for a broken relationship and for, you know, I haven't found anyone to marry and God, why aren't you hearing my prayer? And, you know, heal me already, heal me, you know, and He's given me this grace to, like, you know, I know that there are a lot of people praying for me, and I'm kind of just leaving it at that. He gave me the grace to understand from the beginning that there was a spiritual portion in this journey. And so my prayer, someone gave me the surrender novena in 2021.
Love that.
Yes.
Yes.
That was huge. That was like a big preparation. And so, you know, you surrender yourself. Lord Jesus, you take care of this, but also
yes.
give me what you want me to accomplish in this and heal me when you want, if you want, however way you want. You know, I'm going through the physical, medicine, the standard medicine of care. I'm looking into complementary, whatever you want, guide me, oh Lord. You know, because you meet people in the hospital, you meet people on the airplanes, you meet people everywhere that you are presenting the Lord Jesus to. So when you have him, and of course, I've been receiving Jesus in Holy Communion every day, and that's my strength. So when you have this cross, like, if you're not spiritual already, and you're the please heal me person, and like you're struggling so much, my thought is take the foot off the gas of focusing on yourself, and start focusing on Jesus, and loving him more. And seeing what gifts he has to give you, even when you feel like absolutely horrible. I mean, ask him to, in those moments, you ask him for consolation, you ask him to strengthen you through the cross. But then when you're just like kind of cranky and miserable and waiting, you know, then you just take your foot off the gas and go into cruise control and start loving him for who he is, you know, yeah. And building on that relationship and start focusing on praying for other people who have their own crosses. Mm-hmm. And the other big influence on me was Father Walter Chizek with God in Russia. Have you ever read it, Deacon?
Yeah, I know I'm very familiar with Father's work. Yes.
He's just so he had that absolutely, he's in the desert and he has like his vocation seems like totally dead and fruitless. But yet it was so fruitful. And so that's what we can imitate him in, that faithfulness. Like our prayer life even becomes without words. It's like a contemplation. It's just like a constant meditation with the Lord.
Wow. Nina, I have to tell you, you are in a beautiful place right now in your spirituality, given your situation. I mean, I know so many people, young adults like yourself, who the opposite, they turn away from the Lord. They get angry. Why are you doing this to me? I haven't even started living yet. I have all these dreams and aspirations and I have these goals and I want to have a family. And they turn inward. Like you were saying, you're talking about just doing the opposite. You know, just like in the gospel, the judge was turned in on himself. You're like, no. It's just the opposite is what we have to do, is how you're living, which is such a beautiful, incredible witness to the power of God's love, even in the midst of incredible adversity that you're facing right now. Now, did you ever feel that way? And did you have to, how did you overcome that?
You definitely have the darker days.
Yeah.
You just kind of live in that darkness and wait for the Lord to send you the relief. Mm. You know, you keep surrendering. Lord, I'm on the cross now. You have to give me the strength to keep going. And then, you know, the night, the before I had to start this is like my second round of chemo since January. I was on last year, and we thought we kicked it, but I had this feeling it wasn't done. And so I was pretty upset emotionally, it wasn't all straightforward spiritually, still staying close with the sacraments and focusing on Jesus. But he did have to give me a sign. Like, he gave me a rose from St. Therese, a perfect long stem yellow rose sticking up out of the trash can outside the supermarket the night before I started the chemo. And then all my fears vanished, and I was totally strengthened for the journey ahead, And then you find ways of loving the Lord and sharing him with the people around you who have no faith at all. We're in such a place of darkness. We are missionaries everywhere we go. We bring Jesus just by when we receive him in our hearts for Mass and daily Mass. We're carrying him like a tabernacle into the dark, dark places, the hospital ward where everybody's like upset and miserable and unhappy and scared. And you just dive into those short prayers. Jesus, I love you. Mary, be with me. And then use me,
You know why this is such a powerful witness, Nina? I'm thinking about, for example, there was a young woman here in Oregon who had a terminal illness. And, Oregon has assisted suicide. And so she opted for that. And everybody was saying how courageous and how brave she was because she didn't want to suffer. She knew that with this form of cancer that she had, that there was going to be suffering coming with it. So rather than deal with all that, I'm going to end my life right now. And everybody called her, she was heroic. And I'm like, no, what you're doing, Nina, that's heroic. That's meaningful. That's powerful. This is the response to suffering, to evil, to God's covenant love. It's exactly what you're doing, staying close to the sacraments, being that witness to others. You talk about being on the cross, being that light in the darkness. Such a beautiful, incredibly beautiful witness. Have you confronted people that come to you and just said that, what you're doing is a waste of time and that you should just give up? Have you come across people like that in your journey?
Half my family is Italian men, so they, they're a little bit hard-headed. But they're respectful. They don't say those things to me as much anymore. They're much more willing to kind of just, look sideways and be like, I don't know what they're thinking, but, mostly I just plow over anybody that says, don't look at it that way.
Yeah. Well, Nina, thank you so much for your call today. And thank you for being vulnerable, and thank you for being honest. And I just felt the Holy Spirit just say, stay with Nina right now. Cause I think there's people that are listening that needed to hear what you had to say. I think they need to be encouraged. They need to be strengthened. They need to be inspired. And that's exactly what you did for the people for that. I don't know who is out there, but I really believe it in my heart and in my soul that God wanted me to stay with you because there was something that people needed to learn about your journey. And please know that I'm praying for you. In fact, when I do my walk tomorrow, I'm going to dedicate my rosary to you. And for your journey, and that God's will be done in your life, Nina. Again, thank you so much for the beautiful call. It really, really was powerful and meaningful. Thank you so much. All right, man, what an awesome call. And finally, we have Maura on YouTube. When I hear or see recommendations to read what a great saint wrote, I feel intimidated. Their experience is so much more advanced than mine, and I anticipate not understanding what they wrote. Well, what I would encourage you to do, Maura, is if you don't want to feel intimidated by the readings, then read maybe a commentary on what this saint wrote. There are people out there who write about what a saint wrote, and maybe that's a good way to introduce yourself. Like, for example, instead of diving into Interior Castle by St. Teresa of Avila, which may be overwhelming, read like someone's comment, a commentary on what Saint Teresa wrote. That may be a good way of introducing yourself to her work, and you feel more comfortable diving into her work after reading how someone else's commentary about the background about what she wrote and how she wrote. That may be helpful to you. All right, great Word of God Wednesday show today. And tomorrow, we're going to talk about one of my favorite saints of all time, Saint John Paul the Great. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.